They helped set up an offshore center in the tiny Pacific island of Niue, population about 1,200, around about 15 years ago. And then when Niue shut down its offshore industry around about 2005, Mossack Fonseca moved the business to Samoa.
And now, what is the nature of their business in Samoa?
Generally, the office in Samoa, like those elsewhere in the world, is mainly selling so-called shell companies or other sorts of corporate vehicles like foundations or trusts to people who then use those companies or trusts to hold bank accounts or hold assets.
The Panama Papers appear to have revealed that the firm Mossack Fonseca was involved with the government in trying to reject a request by Australia to sign a tax information exchange agreement. Is that correct?
Yeah, the finance sector is quite powerful in Panama, and particularly this big law firm, Mossack Fonseca, has very good political links. One of its founders was advisor to the president of Panama. And yeah, consistently, not just in relation to Australia, but this firm has been consistent in putting pressure on the Panamanian government not to exchange financial information or tax information with other countries.
And how did their efforts with regards to Samoa and an agreement with Australia go, do you know?
It seems like they've been successful in applying a handbrake and just kind of really not quite blocking all progress, but certainly slowing things down. So even when there's a formal agreement signed, the suspicion is that the information is not flowing as freely as it should.
Because Samoa has since signed an agreement with Australia, hasn't it?
Samoa has, yeah. So Samoa has been reasonably forthcoming. They just had reforms in their financial intelligence unit. And so, in fact, the Samoan government seems to be doing a relatively good job there.
But as the stories relating to the Panama Papers say, sometimes requests for information under the tax information exchange agreements appear to take some time.
Well, yeah, that's a problem that's common. So, for example, it's not just, say, Samoa that's slow on acting on Australian requests. Sometimes Australia has got requests from the South Pacific and it's taken between 1 and 3 years for the Australian government to reply. So that kind of slowness is not just a problem of small Pacific states. In some ways, the country that's got the biggest backlog in replying to that kind of request is the United States, who are again about 2 years behind in terms of opening their mail.
Now, this whole issue is not new for the Pacific, but what is it about the Pacific, small states like Niue and Samoa, that make them attractive to players like Mossack Fonseca?
Mossack Fonseca are keen on countries that will let them, Mossack Fonseca, write financial legislation. So if you're a very small country, quite poor, with no other options, and the only thing you really have is the ability to write legislation, the sovereign prerogatives, then, it's tempting if some foreigner comes along and says, look, if you let us write a company law or a bank law, we'll give you a few $100,000, we'll generate some jobs and get you some fee income, then that's a pretty attractive prospect. And that's pretty much what happened when lawyers from Mossack Fonseca met the leadership of Niue.
People are still digesting the so-called Panama Papers. What do you think will be the fallout from all of this?
Yeah, well, it's a vast amount of information, 11.5 million pages, 2.5 terabytes of information. Most of it to be made public next month. But I think this is really going to turn up the pressure, not just obviously on the particular individuals that have been exposed in these leaks, but really add momentum to the global campaign to increase transparency when it comes to the financial sphere, and particularly when it comes to looking through or seeing through, finding out who's behind our shell companies and things like trusts. It's been on the agenda for a while, but as I say, I think this will further reinforce the momentum there.